good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Hey, just want to give Ogama a quick shout out for wrangling those politicians yesterday. Why Wendy and I took a break. I really didn't take a break, but it was very interesting. I just want to give a shout out and thank you for those guys for sitting in on such an important issue. And again, good job, Ogama, for wrangling those guys. Wendy, so how's the weather there in New York? I'm a little depressed. We weren't together on Valentine's Day.
I know, it's sad. I have the flowers that you delivered to me in the background. If anybody takes a look, they are rather beautiful. And the weather here is a bit chilly. On Saturday, it was 55 degrees, and then the next day it was 30 and it snowed. So it's a bit drunk.
Hey, so before we get to Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else, we're going to have Dr. Stately on tonight. We're switching around a little bit, and he's usually our Monday guy, and he's from the Native American Community Clinic. And then Wendy with some awesome Wisconsin news about, well, I don't want to give it away, but talking about our sacred animals. So, hey, without any further ado, Wendy, let's get with Ogama with the news.
Hey, Bujuanin, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And as always, I bring you the news here on Native Roots Radio. Today, I want to start with a little bit of Line 3 news and reminding people that there is a Line 3 storytelling anthology that's happening. So a group of people from the movement are collecting stories from the resistance that will be printed in a book and shared with other water protectors. They're seeking submissions of writing, poetry, art, photography, or any other creative reflections on the movement. The anthology team, as noted, is not seeking and will not print a tactical analysis or movement critiques, but they're rather looking for slice of life stories or moments in time. If you would like to submit your stories or art, as well as learn more about the anthology project, you can go to line3anthology.org. That's line3anthology.org. The final submissions deadline for stories and art is March 15th, 2022, and their project has a writing team available for people to help craft their submissions if that's what's desired. So that's really an exciting thing that's coming on. And I know that art can be really healing. So there's a lot of us who are a part of the Line 3 events this summer, you know, who maybe have a little bit of trauma or PTSD or need an outlet to put those kinds of things. So we definitely want to make sure people are aware that this could happen for you. And other great news today, the Minnesota DNR announced it would no longer consider the Twin Metals plan to mine near the boundary waters. So a little over a year ago, experts had evaluated these plans and found that they were, of course, riddled with oversights and red flags. And this is from Friends of the Boundary Waters. And DNR is now, it sounds like, officially closing the book on Twin Metals. And I believe Biden had a little bit of that to do with that as well. But, you know, you definitely want to continue to pressure the agency and administration to move on from PolyMet and to ensure Lake Superior and the boundary waters are protected from both copper, nickel, and sulfide mining, as well as ongoing attacks through the Line 3 and Line 5 projects. So definitely don't ease up on that. Growing opposition happening in northern Minnesota to Huber's Huber Company's Frontier Project in Cohasset. Honor the Earth is launching a campaign in support of the Leech Lake Reservation and other impacted tribes for Minnesota's forests and air quality. Basically, the Frontier Project is a timber mill operation scheduled for Cohasset that would become the state's 12th largest polluter and increased deforestation in the Northwoods of Minnesota. It's already received $80 million in state funding via subsidies, but those subsidies bypassed tribal input and the environmental impact statement had ignored any climate change, and the environmental impact statement, ignored any climate change impacts. The mill will create an oriented strand board, or OSB as it's commonly known as, used in new housing construction, and consumed more than 400,000 cords of wood, or up to 1 million tons of wood annually. By comparison, the Minnesota DNR in 2019 offered only 875 cords from all state land. Huber's logging impact circle includes the entire Leech Lake Reservation, the Chippewa National Forest, and a good portion of the White Earth and Red Lake reservations. So in support of Leech Lake Reservation, Honor the Earth is launching a campaign and explaining the damaging impacts to five of the 11 recognized tribes in Minnesota, five of which are all Ojibwe tribes, not to mention the damage to the forest, air quality, and the inadequacies of the approval process. So there is a new website, protectmnforest.org, that's popping up so that you can go find out some more about the Huber Mill and what kind of dangers are happening with that project. So go to protectmnforest.org and make sure you take some time, you know, look up the Frontier Project, look up the Huber Mill, and, you know, take some time to be educated in that. In case you missed it, we do have a Native American with a Super Bowl ring. Robert and Wendy, did you get to watch the Super Bowl at all?
I had it on in the background. I wasn't really paying attention, but when I heard a commercial come on, I paid attention.
You sound like me. So Austin Corbett, who plays for the LA Rams, is now, I believe, the first Native American or one of the first to have a Super Bowl ring after the LA Rams won on Sunday. Corbett's a member of the Walker River Paiute tribe, and their tribal chairman, Amber Torres, who's been on Native Roots Radio before, had made a post on social distance powwow as they went into the game. Congratulations to number 63, Austin Corbett, and the LA Rams on a great season. And asking all of Turtle Island to support them on Super Bowl Sunday, and they were successful. So that is some fun news for us out of Indian Country. Also some good news. This came out of Indian Country today. Congratulations to journalist Julian Brave Noise Cat, who is from two different tribes in the United States and is one of two recipients for the American Mosaic Journalism Prize and its unrestricted $100,000 cash prize. The Heising Simons Foundation has awarded the prize to two freelance journalists for excellence in long-form narration or deep reporting about underrepresented or misrepresented groups in the United States since 2018, and the cash prize is one of the largest for journalism in the United States. It came as a surprise to Noise Cat after the winners were announced last week on February 9th. Noise Cat's work has been featured in the New York Times, The Athletic, the National Geographic, The Washington Post, and more. The press release on this award that he received highlighted his work on the census powwow, which followed an MHA Nation citizen's journey to count everyone on their reservation for the 2020 census, and an examination of fatherhood from the perspective of Indigenous men titled Indigenous Fathers Take Lessons from Their Own Experience to create healthy lifestyles for their children, which is something I might actually send around to some people that I know. So that's really exciting. And, you know, congratulations to Mr. Noise Cat on that awesome win. And we'll have a little bit more news for you tomorrow, as always, on Native Roots Radio.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Okay, so we're up. We're going to have Dr. Stately on next, and we're just going to catch up and have a conversation, which we do. there's a lot of preparation in this show, Wendy. You know, we prep a lot before we get on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break with Dr. Stately.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, Wendy, can we talk a little bit, do a little preview while we're waiting for Dr. Stately? He's not with us yet, but a little preview of what you got cooking today.
Yeah, excellent. You know, Robert, you actually sent me this article, and as everybody already knows, and maybe there's some people who don't know, that on February 10th, the wolves were returned to the federal endangered species list, and we're really happy about that. All of the wolves in the lower 48 states were returned to the endangered species list, except for the Northern Rocky Mountain region wolves, which we still have to be diligent and stay on Deb Haaland to get those wolves also protected. But if you remember last year around this time, Wisconsin had a wolf hunt. And what happened was the wolf hunt was stopped after 3 days because so many wolves were killed. They actually went over the quota. And the sad part of it is that, there's Dr. Stately. Let's get with Dr. Stately, and that's the cliffhanger for my segment later on.
Hey, before we get to Dr. Stately, the flowers I sent you looked a lot bigger than they do on camera here. On the internet. It's just
are very big. They're kind of way behind me, so if I stood right next to them, you'd be able to see them. They are really big.
Oh, good.
It's a very big, large bouquet. They're really beautiful.
And so are you, and I miss you, Wendy. And that's a great segue. We missed Dr. Stately yesterday, and we're really glad that Dr. Stately could come on. And he is the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic, and we like to just kind of kibitz on what's going on in Indian country. And I don't know, we have... always have a good conversation. Welcome, Dr. Stately, and thanks for being so flexible and coming on today.
For sure. Good to see you all. Thank you. How are you? How are the two lovely Native Roots Radio ladies doing?
Doing fine, good. Yeah.
You had a nice, Valentine's Day yesterday?
No.
Well, you were.
Well, I did have a Valentine. My Valentine this year was my 3-month-old great niece, who I got to spend her first Valentine's Day with. So that was really special.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a lovely way to spend it. Yeah.
It was very lovely.
Yeah.
And Ogama's counting the days, right, Ogama?
You are.
Yeah, I'm about 37 weeks pregnant right now, for those of you who don't know. So I spent my Valentine's Day with swollen feet and hanging out. Actually, I got to do something really awesome for Valentine's Day. I got to help with the MMIW show yesterday that we had with Heather Keeler and other legislators from the Midwest. So
yeah, that was,
really a good show. So happy to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And that's a big thing for us in Indian country, is that we all, that's a big day for us. So it was really nice to watch that. I didn't catch the whole thing. I caught some of it and then I had to go and come back and I watched it later on, what is it called? On rerun. Just kidding. Really old school. People don't even know what rerun is anymore.
I don't know if people are from that era, but I remember rerun.
Exactly. Just aged myself really by decades.
Looks like you got a haircut too. Are you looking kind
of sharp? It's just slicked back today. I don't know why, but it's like a little, it's actually getting much longer. I haven't had a haircut in 2 years. Two solid years, actually. Two pandemic years. So
yeah, a friend of ours who we won't mention his name, but he had gotten cancer, and he's still with us. And I worked with him at Harding, and I stopped growing my hair or cutting my hair then, in respect for him. And then also, it's just transitioned to really supporting our young Native youth that get bullied with long hair. And so that's why, even though it's thinning out, I'm going long here and have long hair, Dr. Staley.
Yeah, I see that. So. Same thing for me. It's like, you know, I'm actually getting, sometimes I used to have more hair on my chin than I had on my top of my head, but now finally, thanks to the pandemic, that's reversed. So, you know, but, Ogama asks questions about the COVID numbers in Minnesota. And absolutely. Like the cases, the number of cases are going down. It looks like, Omicron is, receding a bit. You know, they were still seeing a lot of people in coming to the hospitals, and still cases of illness happening and hospitalization. So we're not out of the woods yet. And I think that that's a really important thing for us to talk about or to sort of reify. And then that's important because, you know, I don't know how the rest of you are, but like, you know, my kids seem to think that it's over. They're walking around without masks and doing all kinds of stuff. And their school this week, yesterday, pivoted to like masks are not mandatory anymore. They're recommended but not required. And so like, you know, I dropped my kids off this morning at school and I have two 14-year-olds and one kid isn't wearing a mask and the other one is like, you know, completely masked up. And when I dropped them all off in the line, my kid looked like he was the only kid walking into the entire school with a mask on. So, it's kind of like, it's concerning because, you know, there's still community circulation. I don't think we're out of it yet. I think people need to just remember that it's important to, like, you know, especially in certain situations, like, you know, there's 35 kids to a classroom and my kids is high school. So sometimes in some situations, 40, right? So 40 people all packed into a room for 50 minutes without masks is not a good idea. So try to remind your kids and remind your family members and yourself to, wear masks when you're in very close quarters with people and you are going to spend a long period of time together in that space and place. So
I know, Dr. Stately, in the beginning of the pandemic, we talked, some people talked about herd immunity, and I know that hasn't been brought up lately, but because this last strain went so fast, is it going down because we had some sort of herd immunity, or am I just labeling things?
Well, the number of cases going down in the surge, what we consider to be a surge with really high community spread, is going down. The other part of that is that, like, one of the things we have been seeing is that there isn't, like, as many large community-wide testing centers anymore because of, like, home testing and all those things are really quite robustly available to individuals, right? And I think because that's taken the place of having, like, going into a clinic or going to a testing center to get tested, and those kinds of things are happening, we have less eyes on how many positive cases are actually out there. You know, people, all the people who are testing at home aren't reporting those numbers to the this state health department and the county health departments, and so we don't really have an a clear and accurate view on that. But I think the other part of that is that, you know, the what we're seeing is the number of cases being reported is going down, and I think that has something to do with that. But we're also seeing less numbers of serious cases ending up in the ICU, which are good things. We should not complain about these things, right? These things are a good space to be in. I think what's really important is for us to also try to remind people that that doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. It doesn't mean that we can kind of go back to life as normal and pretend like, you know, the house has not fallen on the witch, right? Let's just say that. You know, all you little munchkins, don't come out and start singing right now. You know, just hold off a little bit.
So we're going to take a break here in a little bit. And what I'd like to talk about when we come back is one of the things that I didn't really know. And that's people are coming out with more information about long haulers,
mm-hmm.
and long haulers. Heart and the heart situation. I wonder, we'll save that for next break. We only got a minute left, but
yep.
There's a lot of information, and I know you get a lot of your information from NPR. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, from Nora O'Donnell.
Easy. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, right on. Yeah,
I like it.
So, well, we're here with Dr. Stately and with Wendy and Ogama, and the Dream Team's back after the politicians took over our show yesterday. So it's good to be back. And Dr. Stately is Dr. Stately, who are you? You are the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. And so we're always good to have conversation with you, what's going on, and have a few jokes and... And
that's true. I am that and so much more, by the way.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm a little goofy here myself. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this incredibly long break. No, after this short break. Wendy?
See you soon, and stay with us.
What is this?
It's a vaccine, Batman.
What does it do?
It protects you from viruses.
What kind of viruses?
Well, this one more specifically protects you from COVID-19 strains and variants.
COVID-19? Cool. You're still going to jail, Joker.
In your dreams, Batman.
This message is brought to you by McGizzy Communications and the Minnesota Department of Health.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass. making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards, hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Hey, this is David Pakman for All Energy Solar. Home utility costs are rising every year. It's unnecessarily costing you money. Stop renting your energy from the utility company. Switch to All Energy Solar. Going with All Energy Solar means you'll be in control of your energy costs. Plus, All Energy Solar can save you money at home and at your business. They work with both homeowners and businesses. Switching to solar is not just a good decision for the planet. It can reduce energy expenses for up to 30 years. More people are choosing solar for their homes to be more environmentally responsible, and they want to make purchases from businesses with similar earth-friendly values. Don't delay on going solar. 2022 is the last year of the 26% federal tax credit for installing solar at your home or business. Still not sure about solar? All Energy Solar is hosting a free winter webinar to answer all your questions. Learn more at allenergysolar.com, and we thank All Energy Solar for being a proud sponsor of the David Pakman Show.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 20, then Wednesday cloudy with temperatures around 19.
This is Angela Warner with Warner Stallion. If you've got a broken appliance or one you wish would break, don't settle for poor selection and don't pay a penny more than you should. Warner Stallion has thousands of in-stock appliances, plus save an extra 5%. Shop now at warnerstallion.com.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose all the latest schemes, frauds, and more weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wendy, could you do Howling for Wolves, too, while we have Dr. Stately with us?
Yeah, sure. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh. Howl!
My dog.
All right. Hey, well, we're back here with Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I proposed a little question about the long timers and what's come out lately. And I wonder if you could let our audience know what you've heard and what you know.
The long haulers, you mean? So the long timers. But that's a mix of long haulers and old timers together. So, yeah. One of the things I really wanted to quickly return to was like what we were talking about before, which is like letting folks who are not out of the woods yet across the United States, but also in the state of Minnesota, which is where I'm at right now. So we're still seeing daily case rates around 3,900 to 4,000 cases per day. of new reported cases. And we feel like we're a little bit out of the woods because about a month ago, we were at almost 24% of a positivity rate, right? Which is huge, huge, huge spike. Right now, we're at around 10 to 11% of a positivity rate. And that's still pretty high, actually. We want to see a community spread that's lower than 5% or lower than 7% to sort of kind of really feel like we're out of the woods a little bit here. So just kind of want to remind people, give people a little bit of context. 4,000 new cases per day is actually a really high number of community spread cases. So just kind of encouraging people to remember to mask up and keep social distance and stay home if you're sick and those kinds of things, right? You know, speaking of long haulers or old timers, you don't want to get grandma sick, you know, and those kinds of things. So stay home and, you know, FaceTime with her or something like that. One of the things I think that's interesting is like, you know, we are paying more attention to long haulers. And one of the other things I think that's getting a lot of attention that we're trying to begin to kind of understand a little bit better is people who are fully vaccinated, who have been fully boosted, who repeatedly get infected with COVID-19, even after having the full course, as we call it. So, and there's a lot that I don't think we know about that yet. There's probably some underlying health conditions that are tied to those things, and I think we'll learn more as time bears out. But what we are seeing is that some of the symptoms of long haul for people who have like what's called long haulers syndrome or long COVID is, you know, long-term challenges with like brain fog, inability to sort of kind of remember basic things, fatigue and everything from that to sort of some long-term respiratory issues. I think we'll probably see more, and some of that will become a little bit more clear over the course of the next several months as people finish up some research projects on tracking people who are considered to be quote-unquote long haulers. We can begin to understand that a little bit better. And I think that's a really important thing to sort of kind of tie back to the other conversation. So while it might feel like, Omicron wasn't all that serious, it was, I felt like I had a cold and it wasn't really all that big of a deal, which is kind of like what you hear people saying in the community. Well, what we don't know is with how virulent it was and how rapidly it spread and how easily it was able to sort of kind of spread and how easily it was also able to contribute to breakthrough cases. We don't know yet the extent of the compact or the impact that will have on things like long haul COVID, right? So I want to really remind people like there's a lot we still don't know, right? And so until we know a little bit more, just practice a little bit more safety measures to keep yourself and your loved ones safe and your members of your community safe as well.
I know years ago, I'd see people in China because of the pollution wear masks a lot. And I think that's kind of what we're leaning towards to now, probably in the future here. I mean, I don't mind wearing a mask, and sometimes I scare less people when I'm wearing the mask.
Yeah, I can see the benefits of that.
Before the show, I was telling Robert and Ogama that yesterday after babysitting all day, I ran over to pick up some food at a restaurant, and the restaurant was packed. They had singers there, a little band, and nobody was wearing a mask, and the place was packed. And for a minute, I was like, why is this place so packed? And then I remembered it was Valentine's Day, but, people are out. People are, they're just like, nothing was going on. So yep. I don't know. I went in with my mask to pick up my food.
Yeah. I bet there were lots of COVID flowers and chocolates happening around all last night. So,
sure.
And it's interesting, too. I think it's really regional, too. I know I like to go to a thrift store, a chain thrift store here. And if I noticed I was in the Twin Cities, everyone had masks on. And then when I was in Stillwater, nobody had masks on. So it's really interesting.
Stillwater is basically Eastern Washington or Western Washington. So,
right. Or Wisconsin, you could say, too, whenever I go into Wisconsin, too, for my other job, no one's wearing a mask. We're the only ones wearing a mask.
I think that people in smaller communities have the perception that they're less at risk because we're small and we're, you know, maybe there's 15 feet between your houses instead of 6 feet, like at here in the Twin Cities. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the point being is, it's like, it really doesn't, it's kind of like, it doesn't really matter when you're indoors and there's more than 15 of you in a small space. Like, you know, unless Stillwater has amazing filtration in all of its buildings, then that's the only reason I would say, think is, the saving grace there. I get it though. I know that people are exhausted by this pandemic. Mm-hmm. There's times when I sit in meetings within my clinic and also in the community, and we talk about we're entering the third year of the pandemic and how mentally and emotionally overwhelming that can feel at the moment in time where it sort of kind of lands on you, like, and go, oh my God, we've been doing this for a really long time. So I get the exhaustion of it, but I also want to say, there's something to be said for, diligence and perseverance, right? Those mm-hmm. are the people who win the marathons, right?
Right.
So, and then we are definitely in a marathon here. This is not a sprint.
Yeah. And then Kathleen, our great listener here on Facebook, she said that some people they're going crazy in Canada, literally, and we're seeing that on the news too. With mask mandates. No, don't make me do this. And
disrupting international shipping and
right.
supply chain stuff. Right. It's like,
Well, I think some of the mentality, and I don't know, this is just a general statement, but some of the mentality, I think, is people that are in smaller towns, for instance, do not like to live next to other people. They like the space. They don't like people, knowing what they're doing, and they don't like to be, told what to do. And that's just a general statement, but I've seen that, like Ed Gein was from a small town. No, I'm just kidding. If you remember who Ed Gein was.
Yeah, I did. And I was trying to follow the jump, but thank you. I get it. I was like, wow, that's quite a leap. Okay.
he's from a small town is all I was saying. But, there's that don't tell me what to do.
I think generally Americans, they don't like to be told what to do, right? As a society, we're a hardy, independent bunch, right? Overwhelmingly. I don't necessarily know that all groups subscribe to those cultural values. But I think a part of it is that's a thin line to walk, right? Like, I get it. I don't want to have a lot of limitations placed on my behavior and my sort of existence either. It's part of the reason why I bought a house instead of being a renter. I really didn't like being living under somebody else's conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I also think that it's important, to try to remember the social contract that we have as a society. Like, we really do have, we've made some, and we've all adapted and signed on to some regulations and some processes and some rules of engagement that benefit the greater mm-hmm. good, right? It's why we all sort of agree you have to have a license to drive. And if you don't have a license to drive, you shouldn't be operating a 3,000 ton vehicle on the roadway because it's dangerous and it can cost people's lives. We all agree that you shouldn't drink and drive because it's dangerous and it can kill people. We agree all wear your seatbelt because it's safer. I mean, there's things we've assigned ourselves to, right?
I'll even do one better. What side of the street you drive on, Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a norm. Everyone follows that norm, and people are vaccinated. I got vaccinated as a little person, and this whole thing, we would have been out of the woods here, per se, if well, we didn't have a, if it became, didn't become such a political volleyball.
For sure. If more people had signed on to and taken seriously their responsibility to sort of adopt the social contract and do what's good for the greater good, accept a little discomfort and a little, a little wrinkle in your daily life, which is, I think, what a mask would be. It's like not that big of a deal. Certainly not a reason to go to fisticuffs in your local C store. But you've seen all those crazy things happen, right? And it's like,
or in the planes,
it's an indication. Yeah, on the planes, right? So
it's just like, crazy. Well, Dr. Stately, you were a little late, so we're going to make you do a little more in the next segment here. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. Maybe I should go do some push-ups.
Get ready. Well, we really appreciate you coming in on your off day and speaking your truth and getting the word out there. And I know it's really helped that I've known personally people that have gotten vaccinated after listening to you on our show. So again, really, thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
I'm happy to do this twice. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Howl! Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she works tirelessly on animal issues in local and national level. And you're national right now. You're in New York, Wendy, and thank you so much for all you do. We talk about our sacred animals, and I know you gave a little preview of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. I don't know whether he's listening tonight or not, but if Mashke Hana Jinga is listening, thank you again, always. And that means walks on white clouds. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. But I was talking about earlier was
is that we're really happy that the wolves have been put back on the endangered species list that happened on February 11th, 2022. We still do not have our northern Rocky Mountain region covered. So those wolves are still having trouble and they need to be protected. And we need to call on Deb Halland to please relist those wolves. I think that's really important that we get those wolves also protected. And what I was talking before earlier, if anybody just tuned in now, is that the wolf hunt that happened last year in Wisconsin was really deadly for the wolf population there. They stopped the hunt after 3 days because they well exceeded the kill quota, and they had to stop the hunt. And the other thing is that, you know, we've talked to, I'm going to say, ethical hunters, which said that this was literally a bloodbath on wolves. Hunters were used high-powered rifles. They used night vision goggles. They used snares and traps. They had trained dogs that were specifically trained to kill and find wolves. They also used whistle calls, which mimic a crying pup. And they used that to lure out the wolves out of the brush so that they can get a clear shot. They also used bait and other unethical hunting tactics. And this was just horrible. Robert, you gave me an article here, and I have it. It's from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And this was released on February 11th, 2022. And this is from the DNR Office of Communications. Madison, Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on February 11th announced that following a U.S. District Court's ruling on February 10th, returning wolves to the lower 48 states, except for the Northern Rocky Mountain region, to the federal endangered species list, Wisconsin is not authorized to implement a wolf harvest season. The DNR is reviewing and ruling to determine how it impacts hunters and trappers who purchased licenses for the fall 2021 wolf hunt. Wisconsin's wolf population remains healthy and secure in the state. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, how do they know that? They don't. So I'm going to go against what they're putting here. But of course, it is the Department of Natural Resources writing this article. They go on to say the department will continue its robust wolf population monitoring program to ensure the population remains healthy and sustainable into the future. The DNR will also continue working towards, public rules to guide management decisions. The DNR is reviewing the decision to determine how it impacts Wisconsin Wolf's management program. Other immediate implications of this ruling include the following. Permits allowing lethal removal of wolves issued to landowners experiencing wolf conflicts are no longer valid. The department will contact permit holders directly. The department is not authorized to use lethal control as part of its conflict management program. Non-lethal tools remain available. The training of dogs to track and trail wolves is not allowed. Dog hunters may no longer pursue wolves for training purposes. Well, I'm glad they decided on that. The DNR remains committed to assisting individuals that experience conflict with wolves through an interagency cooperative agreement with the USDA Wildlife Services for abatement and control. And if you suspect wolves are having any problems with the livestock, you could go on to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and call them, and they will help you with non-lethal ways to deter wolves. And there are many that we talked about. Dr. Maureen Hackett from Howling for Wolves was on the show last week, and she talked about those non-lethal ways that we could help with the wolves. One of them was using like flags around the livestock. And if a calf or a cow dies, to remove that body out of the way as soon as possible. But I wanted to go to another article here that I have really quickly. It's from Care 11. And I often talk about lead shot and hunters using lead bullets in the state and how it hurts a lot of animals and people too. But Minnesota lawmakers take aim at lead bullets. House Democrats are floating a bill to gradually phase out the use of lead ammunition in the wild and pay for lead ammo buyback program through the DNR. This article is from John Croman, and it was just updated on February 6, 2022. St. Paul, Minnesota. Minnesota lawmakers are weighing the idea of phasing out lead ammunition, especially in wildlife areas, to cut back on lead poisoning of wildlife and humans who accidentally ingest fragments of buckshots or bullets. One bill authorized by Deep Haven Democrat Kelly Morrison would create a lead bullet buyback program through the DNR and pay for vouchers to help hunters buy less toxic ammunition. Lead-based ammunition is a significant, relatively unregulated source of lead knowingly discharged in the environment in the United States, House Representative Health Policy Subcommittee on Wednesday said. Exposure in childhood to even a slightly small part of lead products, lasting neurological deficits in intelligence and behavior problems. There's also plenty of evidence that raptors and other scavenger birds are sickened when they accidentally eat lead bullet fragments from large game hunting. In particular, gut piles create an incredibly rich and high-value meal for these birds. Victoria Hall of the University of Minnesota Raptor Center told lawmakers via Zoom as a young bald eagle named Max sat perched behind her squawking on cue. It was kind of funny. I watched the video, and if you want to go on, that's him right there. That's Max. Hal said that at least 85% of the raptors admitted to the Raptor Center clinic have some level of lead poisoning. And get this, it only takes a piece of lead the size of a grain of rice, about half to 1 centimeter large, to kill a bald eagle when ingested. So that's pretty small amount of lead to kill a big bird like that. Thank you, Robert.
Hey, Pini Gigi Wendy, for all you do for our sacred animals. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and shout out to Ogama, Pini Gigi, for Dr. Stately for stopping in, and of course to Wendy. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated and boosted.